I love to see. I love to hear the conversations that are happening, the encouragement that's given. I love to see the honoring of people. Give honor to whom honor is due. And we, a group of people on Sunday morning that's just obeying, loving in small ways, maybe big ways. Big ways are in the eye of the beholder. But we are in Leviticus chapter 8. We are not going to do Leviticus chapter 6, and we're not going to do Leviticus chapter 7. We're going to Leviticus chapter 8 and chapter 9. Oh, Kevin is reminding me of something. If you didn't bring your Bible and you would like a Bible, or if you're looking around going, where are the Bibles? And you would like a Bible, raise your hand. We're going to have a couple people pass them out. So this is what we're going to make a slight change. Instead of having the Bibles out, we want to encourage you to bring your Bible. And if you would like a Bible, they'll be on the table. You can grab it on the way in, or we'll pass them out at the beginning of the teaching. Some of the Bibles were getting a lot of wear just from out and in and out and in and off the chairs and, you know, kids throwing them or whatever. So we'll have them on the table. You can take them in as you come in, or we'll pass them out as we get going. So that's just a little Desert Inn change. Leviticus chapter 8, you guys there? I'll pray, then we'll go. Lord, we do look to you. You tell us to pray to you as a father. So, Heavenly Father, we recognize our need for you more than we know. Lord, would you just encourage us today? Lord, would you encourage us with each other? Would you give us opportunity to care for others? Would you use your word to minister to us? And I believe each person here will have different thoughts or encouragements that they take from you. Lord, I pray that they all have legs, that they're remembered throughout the week, throughout the day, maybe longer. Lord, we just pray that you would grant us just a spiritual meal. And thank you for the chance to be together. Thank you that you formed us into a community. Lord, it's evident you have. And Lord, I pray that you would build into and embody that community, God, here together. Thank you that you're here. And we look to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Leviticus, verse 1 of chapter 8. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and the bull of the sin offering, and the two rams, and the basket of unleavened bread, and assemble all the congregation at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the congregation was assembled at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Stop! We're going to do this slowly. This is momentous. If you're an Israelite, this is momentous. If this is the story of the Bible, this is a big day. A priests have been promised, but as of yet, there are no priests. We have a tabernacle, no priests. Today, Leviticus 8 day, they get priests. The priesthood is established. And we might look at it like, oh, we know there's going to be priests. It's like seeing a movie we've seen before. This is the day it happens. This is a big day for the nation of Israel. They're called in front of the tent of meeting in the congregation to do this. We're making priests. Now, before we get too far, I would like to stress something that the text stresses. So let's read verse 4 again. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him. And the congregation was assembled at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Verse 9. And he set the turban on his head, and on the turban in front he set the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 13. And Moses brought Aaron's sons and clothed them with coats, tied sashes around their waists, and bound caps on them, as the Lord commanded Moses. Do you start to get the theme yet? As the Lord commanded, and Aaron does as the Lord commanded, and the congregation does as the Lord commanded, and Moses does the Lord command as the Lord commanded. In verse 4, 9, 13, 17, 21, 29, 36, 9, 5, 7, 10, and 21. You can look at them all. As the Lord commanded. I'm not going to make you do it. But you get the message. So I don't know if you've been reading Leviticus, but in chapter 10, something bad happens. I'm not teaching on Leviticus 10. That is Devin's deed to do. But at the beginning of, you get a pattern which goes, the Lord commanded, da-da-da-da-da, Moses obeyed, da-da-da-da. Then you get, and the Lord commanded, da-da-da-da, and they obeyed, da-da-da-da, and you get this nice rhythm. You're like, I know what's happening here. And then you get to the beginning of verse 10, and there's no, and the Lord commanded. There's just story, stuff happens. And if you've been following along before even bad stuff starts, you're like, this doesn't feel good. This isn't the way it's supposed to go. This isn't the pattern. And it's the same with us today. For the Israelite, in obedience, they could expect God to fulfill His promise. There is a blessing that comes in obedience. Let's just walk through a few verses. There'll be a couple of them in John 15. You can turn there if you'd like. If not, I'll read them to you. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, this is Jesus speaking, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. You can stay here a second. So God wants us to have joy, and He wants us to abide in love, places of love and joy. So He draws a circle, and He says, stay in this circle. This is the circle of joy and love. Don't step out of the circle. I can't bless that place with joy and love. If you step out of the circle into disobedience, you're not abiding in my love. You're not abiding in the joy. You're not abiding there. You're in the danger zone. The way I like to think of it is in Arizona, you can be outside, you can be in the shade. And it's like Jesus is saying, hey guys, stay in the shade. It's 110 out, stay in the shade. And you go, you know, I do things on my own. I do what I want. I'm going this way. And you go out into the sun of death. That's the way I feel anyway. And that's the analogy. Jesus says, I want to bring blessing. Stay in the shade. Stay in the shade. Okay, verse 14 of John 15. You are my friends. Well, let's do 13. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Wow. Jesus really ties friends into walking in his commands. Of course, one of those commands is coming to him for salvation. Just a couple more here that we might refer to as we go. If you want to move back, we're going to be in Luke chapter 11, verse 28. But Jesus said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And then lastly, the book of James, chapter 1, verse 25. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. It's true for us. It's true for us. And as we'll get to, the stakes aren't as high for us. Maybe. But there's a blessing that comes. That's the kind of the first encouragement here. Let's go back to Leviticus. We'll continue in verse 5. And Moses said to the congregation, this is the thing that the Lord has commanded to be done. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. And he put the coat on him and tied the sash around his waist and clothed him with the robe and put the ephod on him and tied the skillfully woven band of the ephod around him, binding it to him with the band. And he placed the breastpiece on him, and the breastpiece he put the Urim and the Thummim, and he set the turban on his head, and on the turban in front he set the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses. Okay, most of the drama here is going to happen at the entrance of the tent of meeting. We have to be at the entrance. They're not priests yet. They can't go inside. They're chosen. They've been singled out so they can go close. So physically, that's how this happens. They can go to the doorway. They cannot go inside until they're priests. So they're at the entrance to the tent of meeting. And so Moses washes them so that they wash the sacrifices. So they're kind of, in one sense, the sacrifices, and they're washed. But there's also a real practical reason they're washed. When we get to the whole chapter about bodily discharges, and that'll be a fun chapter. The Lord is offended by anything that comes out of a man. And so, if we're going to go before the Lord, we need to wash. And we'll talk about that more when we get to the clean laws, but it's not just symbolic here. It's practical. And then, so I want you to picture this. When we walk through Exodus, we walk through this. We've got the breastplate, and it's got jewels on it, symbolizing the 12 tribes, and we're dressed in white, and we've got a blue sash, and we've got a blue turban, and we've got a gold plate that says Holy to the Lord on it, and these guys are dazzling. It is an honored office. There is glory here. And the priest is to go into the tent of meeting on behalf of the people. And he is to make sacrifices on behalf of the people. And he's supposed to help these people bring their own sacrifices. And he is going to be a priest. Makes his sacrifices and he enters the tent. And Hebrews says, Jesus made his sacrifice as a priest, and he entered heaven. Now, when he enters heaven, we can make think that Jesus is up there taking a break. Whew, that was hard. We're just going to chill up here for a while. But that's not what the New Testament tells us. Jesus isn't here taking a break. It's his Well, turn to Romans 8 if you want. Page 888 is Romans 8. That's kind of fun. Let's do 34. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus, the one who died? No. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. So what's Jesus doing in heaven? Oh, he's interceding for us. Well, what does that do, that interceding? Oh, well, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Verse 37. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus up there making sure that love flowing into our lives doesn't stop. He is up there interceding for God to bring good to us. Like an agent or defense lawyer. That's kind of the picture the Bible gives. Their job to bring good for us. Jesus goes, I'm going there, and I am going to be doing things on your behalf. On our behalf. That's what Jesus is doing in heaven. Because we have a priest, a great high priest, Jesus. All right, Leviticus, verse 10. I should put a bookmark in it, but. Then Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it and consecrated them. And he sprinkled some of it on the altar 7 times and anointed the altar and all its utensils and the basin and its stand to consecrate them. And he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. And Moses brought Aaron's sons and clothed them with the coats and tied sashes around their waists and bound caps on them as the Lord commanded Moses. Okay, the anointing oil. The recipe is in Exodus. I don't know if you remember. God was very specific. And we know this kind of symbolizes the Holy Spirit. Oil symbolizes the Holy Spirit. And so, but God, let me tell you something. God really likes this. We can go, this is kind of weird. But God really likes this. He commemorates it in another place in the Bible. So if you want, this is one of those weeks. We're everywhere. Psalm 133. This is when God commemorates this time. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of who? Aaron. When God is thinking about the awesomeness of unity, he's thinking about the awesomeness of Aaron getting anointed with oil right here. That's really interesting. Running on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. We know this oil in Scripture symbolizes the Holy Spirit. And there's this whole psalm is about unity. And maybe we should just make a connection. Those full of the Holy Spirit, close to the Holy Spirit, care about unity. You know, Ephesians says that we should endeavor not to break the unity of the Spirit. We should be committed It's being unified together. And that's hard. I've lived in the community for a couple years now. It's hard. And so it does take a commitment and a realization. God really likes it. He really likes it. And he really liked this ceremony. Okay. You know what the oil also says? When you're anointed, it's kind of saying, the Holy Spirit's coming on you. God's going to come in and bless. God's going to bring the power. God's going to do the work. It's kind of saying, hey, I'm not going to be just awesome and do kind of what I'm supposed to do. Do stuff on my own. But this is something that the Holy Spirit and the Lord does through me. So we don't anoint each other with oil even when there's an ordination, right? Like we didn't say, Emily, you're leaving, dump. But it's preserved for us a little bit in the laying on of hands. That when you lay hands on somebody, that God flows power into them for a purpose. So when people are going for a purpose on a mission trip, or they're going to another church, or when Eddie was in here because he's going to go translate the Bible, we lay hands on, and that is, it's like an anointing in that it's a recognition. God's going to do this through this person. It is not this person making it happen. Okay. Now, back to Leviticus. Our new favorite book. All right, verse 14 through 17, there's a purification offering. Ah, we know about that. Let's skip it. Verse 18 through 21, oh, we've done the burnt offerings. Let's skip that. But verses 22 through 30, there's a peace offering, and this peace offering is a little weird, so we need to read it. Verse 22, let's read it. Then he presented the other rams, the ram of ordination, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and he killed it. And Moses took some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear and on his thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot. Then he presented Aaron's sons, and Moses put some of the blood on the lobes of their right ears and on the thumbs of their right hands and on the big toes of their right feet. And Moses threw the blood against the sides of the altar. Then he took the fat and the fat tail and all the fat that was on the entrails and the long lobe of the liver and the two kidneys with their fat and the right thigh, and out of the basket of unleavened bread that was before the Lord, he took one unleavened loaf and one loaf of bread with oil and one wafer and placed them on the pieces of fat on the right thigh. And he put all these in the hands of Aaron and in the hands of his sons and waved them as a wave offering before the Lord. Then Moses took them from their hands and burned them on the altar with the burnt offering. This was an ordination offering with a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord. And Moses took the breast and waved it for a wave offering before the Lord. It was Moses' portion of the ram of ordination, as the Lord commanded Moses. Whoa! That's a little different. Verse 29. Let's do it again. And Moses took the breast. Okay. Moses, we went through this, and I know it's hard to keep track of all the details. Moses is supposed to get the breast and the thigh, but he only gets the breast. And God gets the thigh. Which has made some people think Moses and God are performing this ordination together because they share the priest's meal. So God's acting as a priest, Moses is acting as the priest, and they get to share the meal together. God gets the thigh, Moses gets the breast. I don't know, but it's cool. But maybe more in the middle of this section. What's up with the ear, thumb, toe thing? Well, first of all, in many places of the world, you do kind of unclean things with your left hand. And so in many parts of the world, you only touch people with your right hand. You only shake hands with your right hand because there's just, you do other things with your left hand and therefore don't want to touch other people. And so it seems to be the case here that it's the right side that gets blood put on them. And in one sense, the blood links God and Aaron. But in another thing, since I don't think we don't get, the Bible always gives us the information it wants to give us. We don't get extraneous information. On the other hand, sometimes you get explanations and sometimes you don't. This is a case where we don't get one. There's no explanation here. It just happened. But I don't think it's too hard. It's a job description. The priests are to hear God's commands. They are to do with their hand, and they are to go as the Lord instructs. That's their job description. That's what they're supposed to do. All right. Let's keep going. Then Moses took some of the anointing oil and of the blood that was on the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron and his garments and also the sons and his sons' garments. So he consecrated Aaron and his garments and his sons' garments with him. What? Check out here. I have these brand new clothes made by the best artisans ever, filled with the Holy Spirit, and they are white, and they are clean, and they are dazzling, and they are beautiful, and everybody looks at them says, glory! And Moses takes oil and blood and goes, poof! Can you picture that? I don't know about you, but when I look good, I don't want people doing that to me and my clothes. We can think this is about awesomeness and this is about beauty and this is about like all these things and this is glory and this is us doing great things and God's doing it through us, and then but God goes, no, this is about atonement for your sin. This is about atonement for sin, and this is about blood, and this is about my offense, and this is about burnt offerings, and this is what it's about. And so, boom. Can you imagine seeing that? The congregation? Oh, wow, this looks awesome. Whoa. What did he just do? Moses, you're doing it wrong. I'm sure that's not supposed to be what happened. Yes. This is about the covering of sin. So then, I guess we should keep going. And Moses said to Aaron and his sons, boil the flesh at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and there eat it, and the bread that is in the basket of ordination offerings, as I commanded. Aaron and his sons shall eat it, and what remains of the flesh and bread you shall burn with the fire, and you shall go outside the entrance of the tent of meeting for 7 days until the days of your ordination are completed. For it will take 7 days to ordain you. As has been done today, the Lord has commanded to be done to make atonement for you. At the entrance of the tent of meeting, and you shall remain day and night for 7 days, performing what the Lord has charged, so that you do not die. For so I have commanded, and Aaron and his sons did all that the Lord commanded Moses. Guys, they're supposed to make offerings for themselves, where they're supposed to make offerings for their sin for 7 days. Not this day, they're just supposed to keep doing it. Offering for sin, and more offering for sin. And do you know what they've done? You know what they're going to do in chapter 9? On the eighth day? Offerings for sin. Not the sins of the people, their own sin. It's staggering. 7 days, the number of completion and perfection in the Bible. That is what they are supposed to do. And I don't know if it stuck out to you, but it makes me like, quiver in my boots. If you don't perform what the Lord has charged, you will die. You're supposed to perform this over and over and over again, so you will not die. Like, this is a high stakes game. Who wants to be high priest? High stakes game. First thing that makes me go is like, wow, you know, I already have a great high priest, and I have the cross, which really is symbolized in the altar, and may it's not a high stakes game. And I go, whew. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But then I start thinking. Sometimes I feel like it's a high stakes game. When I think about the world around me. I don't know if you can relate to this, but I don't like walking down the street or being in a group of people and thinking, there's heaven and there's hell. And there's a final destiny, and I don't know how to walk around with this knowledge and make it all compute. I don't know how to function in my family, like my extended family, with this knowledge. This is really hard. God, I don't want this knowledge. This is too big. It's too big for me. I'm too small. I can't handle this. This is too high stakes. It feels really high stakes. And just like they are just supposed to do exactly what the Lord said, that's what they're supposed to do. I think about, you know, when I'm a minister, when we minister to people, we're to minister the Word. The Word. They don't minister like self-help or this thing is really good, or like we're ministering the Word. And then and this high stakes, as I look around me, I go, you know, it was Aaron and his sons, they were not going to be on vacation. And sometimes I just want to be on vacation. And some of you think, oh, life is just going to kind of be just trying to be on vacation a lot. I go, wow. God has given high stakes to us. He's called us high priests, or called us the priesthood of believers. And by the way, you were not a priest. There's a priesthood of believers. We are a priesthood. You are not a priest. And that's the way the New Testament talks about it. Always in the plural, always in community. Important distinction. Okay, we got to do chapter 9. We can do this. We can totally do it. We're going to read the whole chapter in one shot. You have to see, you have to hear it all together. You ready? Oh, I like this chapter. On the eighth day, I wouldn't have said that before I studied Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 9. Woo! Okay. On the eighth day, Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel, and he said to Aaron, take for yourself a bull calf for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering, both without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. And say to the people of Israel, take a male goat for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both a year old, without blemish, for a burnt offering. We're going to do a bunch of offerings. Okay. And an ox and a ram for peace offerings to sacrifice before the Lord, and a grain offering mixed with oil for today. Today the Lord will appear to you. And they brought what Moses commanded in front of the tent of meeting. And all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. And Moses said, this is the thing that the Lord commanded you to do, that the glory of the Lord may appear to you. Then Moses said to Aaron, draw near to the altar and offer your sin offering and your burnt offering and make atonement for yourself and for the people, and bring the offering of the people and make atonement for them as the Lord has commanded. So Aaron drew near to the altar and killed the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. And the sons of Aaron presented the blood to him, and he dipped his finger in the blood and put it on the horns of the altar and poured out the blood at the base of the altar. But the fat and the kidneys and the long lobe of the liver from the sin offering he burned on the altar, as the Lord commanded Moses. the flesh and the skin he burned up with fire outside the camp. Then he killed the burnt offering, and Aaron's son handed him the blood, and he threw it against the sides of the altar. Do you hear it? He's priesting now. And they handed the burnt offering to him, piece by piece, and the head, and he burned them on the altar, and he washed the entrails and the legs, and he burned them with the burnt offerings on the altar. Then he presented the people's offering and took the goat of the sin offering that was for the people and killed it and offered it as a sin offering like the first one. He presented the burnt offering and offered according to the rule. And he presented the grain offering, took a handful of it and burned it on the altar. Besides the burnt offerings of the morning, he's doing it all right. This is great. Then he killed the ox and the ram and the sacrifice of peace offerings for the people. And Aaron's son handed him the blood and he threw it against the sides of the altar. But the fat pieces of the ox and the ram and the fat tail, and that which covers the entrails and the kidneys and the long lobe of the liver, they put the fat pieces on the breasts and he burned the fat pieces on the altar. But the breasts and the right thigh, Aaron waved for a waver offering before the Lord, as Moses had commanded. Then Aaron lifted up his hands towards the people and blessed them. And he came down from offering the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. And when they came out, they blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offerings and the pieces of fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. We did it. We did it. Glory to the Lord left in Exodus. Here it is. Now, I have two thoughts. Very easy to miss something. I guarantee you, Aaron didn't miss it. We can miss it when we read it because we're a few years away. But I don't think the people missed it either. The people didn't miss it either. Leviticus 9, verse 8. So Aaron drew near to the altar and killed the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. Hey, we've been doing this. He can choose a lot of animals. God can choose a lot of animals. God specifically said, you have to kill a calf. You know why God said, you specifically have to kill a calf, Aaron? For your own sin? Is because Aaron has been a priest before in regard to a calf. Do you remember? Exodus verse 32. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has happened to him. So Aaron said to them, take off the rings of gold that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in the ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And God said, Aaron, when you make a sacrifice to cleanse from your own sin, it's going to be a calf. And that's not a small thing. God said what you guys deserve for doing this is the whole congregation is supposed to die. And Moses interceded, if you remember. And they did not die. And I just go, there is not a servant of the Lord that is not sinless. Moses was a murderer. Paul murdered Christians repeatedly. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. David was an adulterer. And here Aaron is doing things in which the whole congregation deserves to die. And God is accepting the atonement of the calf for a sin offering from Aaron's hand. I don't know how much you guys struggle with this, but I know that there are times when we can just look at the totality of our life and we can go, God's not going to use me. He can't put me in good positions. He'd never bring a blessing like that to me. But that's not true. It's not true. There is sin in every servant of God. And the Lord cleanses it. And Aaron believed it. And it is amazing. Just like David. God said to David, your kingdom will go forever. He told Aaron, the priesthood is going to go forever. And Jesus came and fulfilled the priesthood. And he is a priesthood forever. And it started with Aaron and continues. And he got the same kind of blessing that David got. It's amazing. It's good to have a high priest like we do. A high priest that dies once for all. Once for all. Imagine sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. Once for all. And then the glory comes to the people. They come down and they go into the tent of meeting and they commune with God, Moses and Aaron. And I don't know whether they come out and bless the people by faith or the Lord commands it or how that all works. But they're in before God and then they come out and they bless the people. And then God shows up in fire. And they'd known him as fire in the cloud they followed. They didn't know him as fire with Mount Sinai. And he comes down and he takes the sacrifice by fire. It only happened a few times in Scripture. When Solomon blessed the temple, when Elijah's on the top of Mount Carmel, and when the angel comes to tell Samson's parents about Samson. Comes one more time, though. When the Holy Spirit comes, God's glory comes in fire. And the Holy Spirit comes. And then the response. The response is a shout. Sometimes I think God shows up and we all get silent. But in this case, God shows up and there's a shout. And the connotation is a shout of joy. It is joyous that God's glory is here. It is joyous. It is praise. But they also fell on their faces. And I'll just end here. They fell on their faces. And when the Holy Spirit came, when God shows up, it's the same thing. It's the same thing when God shows up, I think, most places. When day of Pentecost came, God came as fire, and everybody praised God in their own tongue. Everybody heard the praises of God in their own tongue, and there was praise of God. It also says this in Acts 2, fear came on every soul. When God shows up, our response, praise and fear. That's the response. Praise and fear. And we hold both praise and fear. God showed up in glory in a visible way in this room. I think we praise and fear. So let's remember Hebrews 12 as we close. Offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Let's pray. Lord, I don't know how Aaron would have just thought. He told me I'd be a priest, and then there's the golden calf, and I don't know if I ever will be. I don't know. And as the time went by, is he going to get all that God promised him because of his sin? And Lord, here on this day, you did it. On this day, you gave him what you promised him. You gave his sons what you promised him. And he got to walk in it because of the atonement and the forgiveness. Lord, and Lord, we thank you that we can all come before you and kill our golden calves. Have you accept our offering? You bring us forgiveness. We can walk in that forgiveness, and you can use us to be a kingdom of priests together. We just praise you for that. We thank you that we can see your reverence and fear and your grace and all the things that are worthy to be praised. We thank you for this morning. We ask that you would bless our time together in a potluck, and really our time just listening to music you created and loving the people who are making it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys. Sir.